This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Trying to stay alive. He'll be spun down and dropped for a short sack. Kyle Van Noy says, pay me. He needed that sack. One half sack to get a $250,000 bonus.
ESPN on the call. Cleveland Browns, the opponent, Kyle Van Noy, one of his 12 and a half sacks here in 2024. Remember, the Ravens almost literally got him off the couch a couple years ago. Had a monster season.
We saw him doing McAfee show.
Yeah, monster season. And then last year even exceeded that total. So Kyle Van Noy, one of the outstanding Ravens in a defense that had its moments of brilliance as they finished second in the National Football League with 54 sacks. And he was one of the main reasons for it.
Yeah, when you look at the Ravens defense, the negative aspects, they were like really good in one area and really, really bad in the other. They were outstanding against the rush. They were number one average per rush with 3.6. And rushing attempts, they were second. People didn't run it on them. And against the rush, they were number one with 80.1 yards. All right? So all the D-line coaches, a lot of those guys, they're still here. All right? The passing, a lot of stats to deal with passing. All those coaches, they're gone. So you kind of know where, passing defense, they were 31st. And they were basically the whole season long, they were that. They just improved yardage-wise, but they were, at their worst, they were almost at 300 yards a game. 300 yards a game. Passing attempts, almost more than anybody in the league, people threw it on. Why? Because they sucked back there for most of the year. And they gave up touchdown passes. They're ranked terrible in touchdown passes. Interceptions, they didn't get a lot of interceptions, 12. So you don't get turnovers. So what does that mean? You're not making plays in the back end is the big thing you're not making. And third down, that you were below average on third down. So those are the biggest areas of concern. And like I said, that's why we have two new DB coaches and, you know, a new inside linebacker coach to help with, you know, pass coverage was awful. You know, and we say, well, the sacks were great. Well, the win rate was bad, and they made a lot of plays in the pass game, you know, against the Ravens. And most of the sacks they got, we said, were effort sacks, hustle sacks, those types of things. But the secondary, which needs total improvement. And how do we fix that? Well, they're probably going to get another new safety. They got, like we said, they got two new coaches back there. They need to get another corner on the outside because I think Marlon had a phenomenal year, but he's really good on the inside. And getting another safety maybe allows Hamilton to kind of do his thing and be more versatile. And then you get Simpson, you know, who has got to be better. If he's better, then the pass coverage will be better. Roquan's in better shape. Pass coverage will be better. Because I didn't think the inside linebackers played great in the past. I thought Roquan got exposed a little bit this year in the past stuff. So, really, everything in the pass game needs improvement.
Well, getting back to Van Noy, 12 and a half sacks. We talk about Henry duplicating, Lamar duplicating their offensive awesomeness of this year. I mean, do you really expect 12 and a half from Kyle Van Noy in 2025? I mean, his two best sack years have been in Baltimore.
Yeah,
the last two seasons. I mean, he's not ancient, but older. I mean, it's not like he's reaching his prime, even though he's playing like he is.
Bob, I think if they get another safety back that they're comfortable with, and at the beginning of the year, I think what we're going to see with Chuck Pagano back there too, Bob, I think we're going to see a lot more versatility of the defense. And I think we're going to see Kyle Hamilton blitzing a lot, corners coming off the edge, blitzing a lot. I think it's going to be in a much more aggressive style defense, which will create more pressure, which will allow the ball to come out that much quicker because they're getting more pressure on the quarterback. And in 23, that's what they did a lot. I mean, Clowney had a lot of sacks, and Van Noy had a lot of sacks. But who had 13 and a half? Who was the leading sack guy?
It was Justin Madubuike.
Right. You know, and then like we talked about, the secondary had a bunch of sacks. So I think it was a lot of aggressiveness there. And then why the sack numbers with Madubuike down? You know, I mean, when you get 13 and a half and you get paid and you're first team all pro, people are going to start doubling you. And that's what they're going to do. Like they do Jalen Carter, you know, because when offenses go into the game plan, all right, what are we going to do in passing situations with Madubuike? We got to turn the protection. We got to take care of him. So on your outside, maybe your guys are getting singled up a little bit more. So who needs to really step up in the pass stuff for them? Travis Jones has got to step up for them. That's going to be key. And I just think that with Chuck back there, in originally with the defense when it first started, I think they're going to be much more aggressive. And I think Kyle Hamilton, you know, I mean, as good as we thought he played last year, which we thought it was better in 23, I think he's going to be more like he was in 23. Because you got to take advantage of that. He is a great blitzer because he uses his hands extremely well. Kyle Hamilton, we're talking about. That he knows how to use his hands and beat pass rushers.
Yeah, two sacks last year. 2 years ago, had three in one game. Adapioe had 10. In 2024, had 13 combined his first 3 years, so he got the double digits enough that we're comfortable with his progression as a pass rusher, no matter what the scheme is, that he's going to start winning his battles here.
The only thing I would say, Bob, is, you know, to pay him a fortune, you know, when they were playing against run team, Tavius Robinson was playing a lot more than Owe. Owe was getting, you know, rush attempts. So I think with Owe, you know, can he get double-digit sacks? If they're blitzing and stunting and twisting a lot, he might. He might. I don't think that between those two guys, Van Noy and Owe, Bob, they're going to have 22 and a half sacks. I don't think that. I think we're going to get we may have more sacks, but they're going to come from elsewhere. And we'll see what Adisa Isaac, if he can add anything, because he was basically a red shirt. And then, you know, they're going to bring in somebody through the draft, too. Just need a little more speed. Just need a little more naturalness. Somebody can really bend the corner and beat the guy. But I don't know. You know, hopefully they find a guy in the mid rounds or something in the draft to do that. Otherwise, they'll be blitzing a lot.
Video at 81057 The Fan NFL Lunch, breaking down the Ravens defense. Some of the stats that could use some improvement there. You mentioned Tavius Robinson. I thought what his role was, he excelled at it.
No doubt.
3.5 sacks, and, you know, he's a little bit older because he bounced around the collegiate route a little bit. But now we see a guy who is an asset to this Ravens defense.
In the run stuff, absolutely. And then his effort is phenomenal. And anything he gives you sack-wise, sack numbers, is a bonus. That's what I think. But he can stack at the point. He's a big, strong, physical guy at the line of scrimmage. And that's why their run defense is so good. I mean, when you're giving up 80 yards a game and 3.6 per rush, you got to be pretty stout up front.
Well, six interceptions of the 12 went to one guy, Marlon Humphrey. Where do the rest come from? Who's your ball hawker? Because, again, not to dismiss Marlon's accomplishments, I'd be kind of surprised if he gets six more picks.
Yeah. Well,
next year,
whoever the safety is that they draft, he's got to come in. Like, Adarius Washington dropped a couple. Jackson dropped a couple. Hamilton dropped some. So they dropped. If they caught the sacks if they caught the interceptions they dropped, Wiggins dropped a few too. You know, then all of a sudden they probably have 7-8 more interceptions. But yes, they need more turnovers, Bob. And mentioned earlier, they got 5 fumbles is all. Whereas like Buffalo had 16 and the Ravens had 5. And that's where a few years back, Marlon Humphrey had about 6 himself. So they need to create more turnovers is one of going to be the big things. Because the teams that won, like Buffalo and some of those teams, they were plus over 20. And the Ravens were plus 6. And you mentioned it earlier, Bob, when we were off air. The Ravens were a minus 3 in the Buffalo game.
Who was number 1 in the NFL.
Yes.
Turnover differential.
So turnovers matter big time.
2 years ago, real quick, Ravens had 60 sacks regular season 2023. 18 interceptions, 7 of those from Geno Stone. 13 fumbles recovered. So they were behind
more, yeah,
in every one of those categories.
Yep, no doubt.
This year.
And I think a lot of that has to do with defensive coordinator. And there was just so much communication problems early in the season.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Danielle Allentalk, Baltimore Banner, talk about the Orioles off today. Hopefully Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg will be back this week as we're creeping closer to the opener at Toronto against the Blue Jays. And then a fun-ass trip, Nolan McGraw, before Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. 4 o'clock deadline, Tag Day, National Football League.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA news, bad news for Dallas, and in particular, Kyrie Irving, torn ACL, left knee, done for the season. So an unfortunate end to his season as the Dallas Mavericks will not, call it a hunt, repeat as Western Conference champions here. Maryland tomorrow at Michigan. taking on the Wolverines, 6:30 tip. We had Kevin Willard on earlier in the show. Walt Williams will be joining us tomorrow to preview that ball game as Maryland looks to get one on the road, wrap it up with a win at home against Northwestern, and then get ready for the Big Ten tournament, where historically Maryland's had some problems. Right now, Joe Lunardi has them as a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. Jerry Palm's not feeling it, though. Still has them as a 7. Let's go to Ed and Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. What's up?
Bob, Benny, good day to both you gentlemen.
Good day to you.
Yes, sir. In local teams, brief comments of opinion. Ravens offense would be great if Stanley stays. I can't see how he would prefer going to a rebuild this point in his career, as you mentioned yesterday, Benny. Would like to see at least one versatile three-positional O-lineman added to the mix. A must-do. They got to get Ricard re-upped. Mm-hmm. The guy's too valuable Swiss Army knife to let him walk. Absolute best at what he does, and he commits no penalties doing it. Another receiver of need to accent Bateman and Flowers. On defense, secondary playmaker, Honey Badger, if they want to go trade, he'd be a coach on the field, or try to draft the South Carolina guy with impressive measurables. We'll probably have to trade up to get him. He reminds me body type of Michael Haynes. Ready rotational edge rusher, trade or draft, instant energy guy. Got to get that, find that guy. Terps tomorrow. Michigan packs a zone on defense with bigs looking to go inside. Their offense is mostly inside. And they pack the defense in with the two bigs to offset your offensive rebounds. Their outside shooting is suspect. Terps should win that game.
Yeah, speed them up like Illinois did Sunday. And they Michigan turns the ball over a lot, too. So keep an eye on that.
Illinois was banging them from outside.
Yep. 37 threes they had.
Yeah. Last thing, the O's are still in need of a middle rotational proven lefty to assist Povich and bust up opposition lefty bats. Pitching rotations need to be as balanced as they can be in three-game series play. That's it today, gentlemen. I appreciate your courtesy, as always.
All right, thanks, Ed Arbutus, thanks for the call. Ed wanted Jose Quintana. He's going to Milwaukee. I thought he's going to go back to the Mets because they've had injuries to their rotation, but it's a moot point. Orioles right now don't have a lefty in their starting rotation. When they get one, it's going to be Cade Povich, unless the trade is made, even though Mike Elias said yesterday that ship has sailed, perhaps pursuing starting pitching here before the start of the season. Real quick, NFL safeties, the top 10 free agents listed by The Athletic. Justin Reed, Kansas City's number one.
That doesn't really excite me as much as the draft would.
Man, none of this does. By the way, the sixth-rated safety, Marcus Williams.
Hey!
Who's not even the sixth best safety on the Ravens right now. Cornerback, they're not signing a free agent DB, right?
No.
Tre'Davious Ward out of San Francisco is rated number one.
Yeah. Bob, it's good. You know what's going to be interesting is, you know, because free agency, you know, you kind of line up like to be the first out of the gate, go get that guy. I don't know that there's anybody really worth jumping out and overpaying to go get
at any position.
Yeah.
Staring here at the top 10 by spot. For instance, edge rusher Josh Wett, rated number one.
Philly.
Khalil Mack, number two, but he's 34 years old, believe it or not. Boy, his career's kind of flown by.
Yeah, I mean, if I went and got Khalil Mack, I'd want him on a one-year deal.
But are you getting Khalil Mack or are you getting Von Miller at this stage?
Yeah, Von Miller was awful last year.
Chase Young's fourth.
Yeah, Chase Young would be, he's got to do another prove-it deal. That would be an interesting guy, Bob, to give a shot to if you didn't have to pay a lot of money. Because get him with Chuck Smith and see if you can, because his rookie year, before he got hurt, he was pretty good. Is there any kickers on? Because,
no,
Bob,
I the top kickers.
I asked another NFL special teams coach who I know, And I said, if you're the Ravens, what do you do? He said, the rookies are too inconsistent. I'd go get a veteran guy. So, you know, I don't know what they'll look at, veteran guys. But I'm guessing they'll bring in a veteran guy and a rookie and hope that the rookie can become Justin Tucker, Cundiff.
Well, Justin Tucker became Justin Tucker, yes. Beating out Billy Cundiff as a rookie, undrafted, back in 2012. Guards real quick. Yeah, Ravens could probably use one, maybe. Will Fries, the Colts number one, 27 years old. Patrick McCary coming in at number three.
Yeah.
So you're losing a guy and you're not going to pay a free agent. Hey, Nolan, remember this name? How about little Ben Bredesen coming in at number five?
No way.
Five-rated guard free agency, according to The Athletic.
Yeah, I thought he was a center because he was...
Where did he end up? What was that, Denver?
Was it Giants?
No, he's with Tampa.
Oh.
Am I listening? Kevin Zeitler is number eight. Yeah. Late of the Ravens.
And how old... Well, Kevin is how old now? 30...
Kevin Zeitler, where are you? I just had you. Kevin Zeitler is 35.
Yeah. You know, and I think he had a decent year for Detroit, but, I mean, you're 35 and you're still an old lineman. He's a little old.
T. Higgins, number one receiver, just got franchised. Chris Godwin, two. Stephon Diggs, number three. 31 years old, believe it or not, Stephon Diggs, coming off a knee injury there in Houston.
Yeah, and when's he going to be ready?
Right, and we talked about it earlier. I mean, you got Flowers, you have Bateman. You need another dude in there.
Yes, I totally
agree. Ahead of Tez Walker.
Yeah. And you know what, Bob? Because they can do so many things in the slot or outside, you can get an inside guy or an outside guy, and it would be fine. But somebody that would be better than Aguilar was.
And finally, running backs, which the Ravens don't need. But remember, last year was Derrick Henry of Saquon Barkley. Aaron Jones, the number one running back, formerly of Minnesota and Green Bay, now 30 years old. J.K. Dobbins, number two.
No, I wouldn't. Hurt too much.
Najee Harris, number three.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb, four, coming back from another injury. Javonte Williams, Rico Dowdle, Kenneth Gainwell, Ty Johnson. Terp, I think he's in a perfect spot there, third down back in Buffalo.
No doubt.
Even Josh Allen said he's the best third down back in the league. But, you know, when you get paid, yeah, sooner or later.
I would
Cam Akers is 10. Let's put it in,
Bob,
perspective.
It would be, if you're a team that needs a running back or whatever, and it would be interesting to look at Chubb to see health. Yeah, I'd have to bring him in and work him out to see how healthy he was.
Number one free agent quarterback, Sam Darnold. Aaron Rodgers, two. Justin Fields, three. Even though reports were today, Pittsburgh looks to be maybe favoring him over Russell Wilson, four. Daniel Jones is five. How about a little Mac Jones coming in six? A lot of first-round draft picks here. Mariota, Winston, Jacoby Brissett, and Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo, 33 years old.
Yeah, I saw the Rams want him back as the backup.
Right, he's in a perfect situation. Why not stay perfect? Jimmy G, when we come back, talk Orioles. Danielle Allen, talk Baltimore Banner. Orioles are off today. Hopefully we'll see Gunnar and Jordan Westberg in the lineup for the end of the week. Funhouse, Dolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over, too. It's Turning Up Tuesday here on the Fan. Orioles are off today, but here to talk about spring training, pretty much at the midway point of it. Believe it or not, March 27th. Opener against the Blue Jays at Rogers Center from the Baltimore Banner on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Danielle Allen Tuck. Danielle, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us as always here on The Fan.
Of course. Good afternoon.
All right. Felix Bautista made his debut. I know Brandon Hyde said it was the super terrific feel-good story so far of the spring. You know, getting to watch him throw on a televised game. So far, so good. So what was that excitement level for Felix just pitching it all, and on top of it, looking pretty dominant like he had the last time we saw him?
I mean, I think it was pretty emotional for him. You know, people could see the smile on his face. You know, afterwards in the dugout, he kind of had his head down. He was taking a moment to himself. But that moment, it meant a lot to him. It's been a long recovery. He's been doing it pretty much completely by himself, you know, isolated from his friends and his family and his teammates for the past year plus. So that moment meant a lot to him, and it's just the first step in what he hopes will be, you know, a fully healthy season.
Now, how are they going to slow play him, if you will? And we've talked about it Toronto, March 27th. We're guessing he'll get the save opportunity if there is one in game two. Who gets it as he looks to reestablish his, you know, they build his arm up, his innings length will increase. Who's second in the save pecking order, assuming they're going to have to go that route early in the season here?
You know, I think with Felix in particular, they're going to really take his time. So I do think that we will see a lot of kind of closer by committee to start the season. I think they liked what Sir Anthony Dominguez did last year. I think Yennier Cano is always an option. Gregory Soto has looked great so far in camp. He looks really good, you know, besides a couple of his first outings with the Orioles last year. So I think he could be a left-handed option for them. And so I think that they're just kind of going to see, like, who is healthy, who is ready to go tonight, and they'll put that guy into the spot.
Now, Danielle, we look at the starting rotation now minus Corbin Burnes, as we all know. Probably Bradish and Wells for the, or not duration, but the majority of the year. But everyone projected to be in that five-man rotation's pitched well. Same with Cade Povich, who's not part of said equation. So I don't want to say surprise level, but the comfort level that Hyde has right now that the starting rotation projected has been outstanding. And when Cade Povich is going to be called upon, he's going to be ready for action, too.
Yeah, I'm still not entirely convinced what they're going to do with Cade Povich, because I think if he looks this good all spring, it's kind of hard to deny him a spot. It's just, where does he fit in? That's where, you know, nobody knows at this point. But, you know, yeah, their depth is great right now, you know, even with injuries to Trevor Rogers and Chase McDermott, because don't forget Albert Torres, you know, is out there, and he hasn't had the best spring starts, but he's been working on things, and that's exactly what these first couple weeks of spring training are for. So, you know, they have options. They can also move somebody to the bullpen if they decide. But with Cade Povich in particular, they would rather have him go down to AAA and continue working up as a full starter versus putting him in the bullpen. But there are other options for other guys that they could put into other spots if they decide that they want Cade in their rotation to start the season. But, you know, they look pretty good overall right now. But there's still, you know, plenty of time for things to work its way out.
Danielle Allen Tuck, Baltimore Banner, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Danielle, Mike Elias talked with it yesterday down in Florida, as you know, because you're there, about the competition in spring training right now. Not a lot of spots available. Everything seems to be kind of cool with the way the roster is put together. If we're fighting for the final couple spots on the 26-man, where's the competition still going to be decided in the next couple of weeks here?
I think that there is one bullpen spot open, and they will probably be looking for somebody with options since their bullpen is much more mature right now, and they don't have a lot of guys who they can option. And then I think that there is one, I would say probably one outfield spot open since they're counting on Jorge Mateo not being ready for opening day. I think that they will more than likely add a fifth outfielder to start the season, which could open up a spot for somebody. But they could also go to an infielder. So really, this roster is set, with the exception of two open spots.
Hey, Danielle, Hyder at the beginning of camp talked about, you know, wanting to bump more and steal more. It seems like that anytime, you know, it seems like anytime a lot of guys are getting on base, they're taking off and running. And are you seeing the bunting also or no?
So we've been seeing the bunting a lot more kind of behind the scenes during camp. They're doing like a whole bunting station almost every day. So I would expect that to kind of trickle into games eventually. A lot of them are, you know, doing bunting basics, things that they maybe haven't done in a while. I watched, you know, Jordan Westberg do that the other day. But yeah, they're definitely working on speed. Jackson Holliday in particular is hoping to steal more bases this year. And I think that you will, as spring progresses, start to see that trickle into games.
All right, Danielle, you mentioned Jordan Westberg. He's been out since the 22nd, did full workout yesterday. Gunner looks like he's creeping closer. When they return to the diamond tomorrow, who's most likely to be on it? And should we expect both of them to be ready by the weekend here?
I would say probably neither tomorrow. I would expect them to each need a couple more days, but maybe Thursday or Friday. I would expect at least Jordan to be back. Gunner are not too far behind, but neither injuries are really that concerning. You know, early in camp, a lot of these types of tweaks happen to guys.
Danielle, how good is the team based on what you've seen so far?
I mean, I think they look pretty good. You know, they are the same basic team that they've been the past couple of years. The core is the same. The difference is they're just that much more older and mature and stronger now. And I do think that they are a better team. especially with the pitching depth that they have right now, because that was something that, you know, really hurt them last year with all the injuries.
Danielle Allentuck, Baltimore Banner. Danielle, appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day off. Thanks for joining us, 105.7 The Fan, and hopefully we'll catch up with you before opening day.
Thanks, Danielle. Thank you.
There's Danielle Allentuck. It's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow, Maryland, Michigan, you can hear the game, 105.7 The Fan. The Wizard, Walt Williams, a preview with us at 12:30. Alan Lazard, speaking of former Packer receivers, the Jets have told him he's free to look for employment elsewhere. Neither guy in Baltimore? No. Lazard, absolutely not.
No. And Adams, be too much money.
What about Darius Slayton, 28 years old? NFL.com says he expects a lot of interest in free agents.
Yeah, I think you go to the Ravens, right player, right price. If they're paying Ronnie, I don't see them going to go pay a third receiver a bunch of money.
ESPN's Jordan Renan says the Giants are likely, air quotes, to trade for the first pick in the draft, where they would take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick.
Yeah, we've talked about this off the air, Bob. I mean, it's just a crappy situation for the kid. I mean, because if he's just okay, coaches are getting fired, and then you're going to start over again with new coaching staff, just like the Bears, just like with Caleb Williams. I mean, Washington did it right. New coaching staff, boom. Then you hire Jaden Daniels. Now you can build.
Speaking of the Bears, they traded for left guard Jonah Jackson from the Rams for a 2025 sixth-round pick. Signed a three-year deal, $51 million last offseason. He was with Ben Johnson in Detroit. So the Bears need offensive line help, and they've addressed it. At least at left guard, it seems.
Yeah, and he knows him, and he was kind of a bust for the Rams. He got hurt.
Yeah, he missed a lot.
You know,
yeah. James Bradbury out in Philly, second DB to be released last couple of days.
And they're getting some of their cap room. They getting the older guys out, Bob, is what they're doing.
And a rap sheet back to him. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Steelers are likely to keep Justin Fields over Russell Wilson this offseason.
Yeah, I mean,
as a Ravens fan, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
he concerns me more than Russell Wilson does at this stage of their respective careers.
Yeah. Well, my thing is okay, your O-line is average. You don't have a great running game, and Justin Fields can't beat you throwing. I mean, those are the things that Pittsburgh's got to fix this offseason.
Kyrie Irving out for the year, torn ACL left knee. So unfortunate news for him and for the Dallas Mavericks. Terps tomorrow against Michigan. We'll have that game for you at 6:30. Break it down with the Wiz. And then the Orioles will be back on the diamond tomorrow after celebrating a day off. Nolan, anything for the people here before Inside Access takes over?
Well, we should also tease that Athletic Director Damon Evans will join us tomorrow. Oh. He's back to his normal Wednesday spot, and some big news coming his way. If you missed it, he's on the CFP committee now. So you need to vote on the always controversial who makes the college football playoff.
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio is on it too.
Well, and then the other things, what rules are they changing the playoff? How they align things and everything, so it'll be interesting.
So when Maryland's getting that one vote every week for the CFP, you know who it's coming.
How about they get to a bowl game before we start putting them in the
playoff? How about a winning record first?
Let's do a little of this stuff. Hey, but they're getting bonuses, I guess. That's all that matters. All right, funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this thought here from Baron, who says, I always thought that Cedric Mullins dropping the switch hitting skill set is what hurt him in the leadoff position overall general matchups that you would like. He goes against lefties and righties there in the leadoff spot.
Couldn't hit left-handed pitching.
Right.
And I believe, if memory serves, he kind of when we were in COVID throes on the show that he had hinted that he was going to switch, no pun intended, just to left-handed solely. I don't think that has anything to do with his decline. His all-star year was him hitting from the left side. He couldn't hit left-handed pitching. That's why he stopped swinging from the right side. He just went into a year slump.
With that being said, maybe something that we previously saw from Cedric that could serve him well in the leadoff, keep talking about small ball, there was a moment in time there where he was pretty adept at bunting. But that was before he really popped and became a huge offensive threat. You know, he kind of had to bunt just to make something happen.
Hey, dude, get on base. He's a stolen base threat. I mean, he's got pop. He's hit 20 home runs before. What is he, a 20-20-30-30 guy? He's the only 30-30 guy in Orioles history. So he's got that capability, but just get on base, set the tone. Whether he's leading off, Gunner, Jackson, Holiday, whoever it is, there's options there. All left-handed hitters, by the way.
More on the Orioles. This texter says everyone will point to Brandon Hyde when it comes to bullpen management, but keeping Bautista rested is the responsibility of his fellow relievers and the starters for that matter. Obviously don't agree with every Hyde decision over the span of a season, but these pitchers, these players need to hold up their end of the bargain, actually give him some solid options to turn to.
Remember the good old days when complete games were a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I believe I read this correctly. Last year in Major League Baseball combined, the entirety of the league, there were five complete games. Five. Jim Palmer used to have like 25 himself. But to the texter's point, somebody's got to step up and man the fort if need be until the mountain gets himself back. The four out saves aren't going to be anytime soon. Just take advantage of the opportunities that you get. Dominguez has been kind of shaky in spring so far.
One last one on the Ravens. This texter says that Baltimore should absolutely make a strong push for Darius Slay. Immediate upgrade over Brandon Stevens, and I don't think he'd break the bank either. There's no sales pitch necessary. He was already ready to come here a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, if the price is right, I think that that would be something they would definitely consider. Yeah, better than Brandon Stevens, that's a no-brainer.
Is he better than Tre'Davious White?
Yeah, I think he's better than Tre'Davious White, too, because Tre'Davious White's speed factor kills him, I think. I think he's real good in zone.
Slay's 34.
Yeah.
Spitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. All of these questions will be answered in due time, probably starting within the next 6 days when legal tampering begins. Tag is 4 o'clock. Tag, you're it. We don't foresee the Ravens tagging anyone, but hey, you never know. Orioles back at it. Terps in Michigan tomorrow and a lot of other things in between. Inside Access coming up here, everybody, in just a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk in the morning. For now, class dismissed.